There's a big sign telling us where we are. But even if you didn't see a big sign knowing where we are, it would be very easy to figure out where we are. Brahmakund. Never seen such a presentation of Lord Brahma like this before. Complete with his lotus flower. I wonder where the stem goes to. But this is complete with lights and flowing water, and that's a little different. Before coming here, I had no idea what the place would look like, other than Krishna Balaram Das said that this has been recently renovated, so, and it's very clean. So, very clean sounded very nice. The significance of this place is it's a place where Bilvamangala Thakur resided when he was living in Vrindavan. And as you can see from over there, that figure of Mirabai, she also spent time here at Brahmakund. I'd like to describe a little bit about the life of Bilvamangala Thakur, because as we see the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right in the midst of the six Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, he derived great inspiration from the writings of Bilvamangala Thakur. Foremost of his writings is Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita. According to a few places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the favorite activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting the verses of Krishna Karnamrita written by Bilvamangala Thakur and Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. We spoke briefly about Jayadev Goswami yesterday. His deity of Radha Madhava are on the altar at the Radha Damodar temple. And other writers, those two are most prominent. Chandidas is also mentioned. And what Mahaprabhu, the practice was, he would recite a verse and experience the happiness of Radha and Krishna's love. And then he recited again and recited again and recited again and recited again. Or Ramananda Roy or Swarup Damodar would recite it again and recite it again, and then some other complimentary verse that would just flow from the mood of exchange of love between Radha and Krishna. Krishna Karnamrita. Karna means ear and Amrita is nectar. So the nectar for the ear are the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna Karnamrita. And especially Krishna Karnamrita focuses on Radha Krishna, which is very important for us to appreciate the role of Radha in the pastimes of Krishna are not so often appreciated outside of Vrindavan, at least not in the same magnitude and not in the same way as they're appreciated in Vrindavan. So the timing of Bilvamangala Thakur's life is very interesting also. His life was even before the appearance of Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya. The exact date is not clear, but that much is clear. So, long time ago. And he received teachings about Krishna from Vishnu Swami. We know that there are four principal sampradayas, and each of them are headed by principal acharyas, and Vishnu Swami is the head of one of those sampradayas, and Novomangala Thakur appeared or received teachings in that sampradaya. One of the most amazing things of his life was the duration of his life. There are different numbers affixed to how long he lived, but generally the number is around 700 years. He lived a long time. Most people don't live 700 years. Novomangala Thakur is said to have lived that long. Somehow he was blessed to live a long life in devotion to Krishna. When he was young, the biographies of his life describe, he was, no surprise, he was an amazing scholar. Deep, deep, deep scholar. Even as a young man. But he also had some other attraction. And the other attraction was illicit female association. And so his consciousness was polluted. In particular, he had a favorite. His favorite was a prostitute named Chintamani. And his residence was on the other side of the river from her residence. And he became so attached to Chintamani that visiting her became a daily affair. So, one time, there was an incredible monsoon storm with lightning and thunder and torrential rain. But the lusty desire of Novomangala Thakur was compelling him to somehow go see Chintamani. And when he got to the river, there was no boatman to take him across the river. And the river was moving very fast. So it was very dangerous to cross the river. Eventually he found a dead corpse floating on the river, and he used the dead corpse to float himself to the other side of the river to go see Chintamani. And when he got to Chintamani's home, there's a big wall around her home, and the gate was locked. So he tried scaling the wall. And he tried and tried and fell many times in this torrential downpour of rain, climbing, falling, climbing, falling. Finally, he saw a serpent that was on the top of the wall, and he grabbed a hold of the serpent to climb over the wall at the risk of his life. Got to the top of the wall and fell to the other side, kaboom. And was calling out for Chintamani to come and save him. She heard his calling from her side of the wall. It came in the middle of the rain and dragged him, picked him and dragged him into the house and got on his case really bad, saying, "You fool." Something to the effect that the attachment that you have for this temporary bag of material elements, if only you had a fraction of that attachment for the personality of Godhead, you'd be a pure devotee and achieve spiritual perfection. I'm shameful. This is my profession. But you're a great scholar. a very elevated personality. Why don't you use that capacity to serve the Supreme Lord with the same attachment that you have for this temporary bag of material elements? As she was speaking, he felt that his teacher, his guru, later to become his guru, Soma Giri, was speaking through her. And immediately, it just connected. He left the place and gave up his worldly situation and went to stay in the ashram of Soma Giri. There's two different versions. Soma Giri was from a previous life. The version that is more common is that Soma Giri, he took initiation from Soma Giri, took sannyas from Soma Giri, and was deeply cultivating Krishna Bhakti. On the order of his guru, he was sent to Vrindavan to live in devotion unto Krishna. On the path, walking to Vrindavan, he became again attracted very strongly with lust for a beautiful woman who was also on her way in pilgrimage to the Holy Dham. And he approached her, and she was startled by his approach. And her response awoke the understanding in Bilvamangala Thakur. He was doing it again. Here he was in this embarrassing, shameful position. So he asked the woman, "May I have the hairpins in your hair?" So at the time, hairpins were used, and it meant that her hair would be held in an upright position by the hairpins. And by removing the hairpins, her hair would fall, exposing the beauty of her form and her hair. So she gave him the hairpins, and he took the hairpins and plucked both of his eyes out with the hairpins, blinded himself, thinking it's because of these eyes. But it's not because of eyes, it's because of the heart. But he blinded himself so he would not see the form of the opposite sex again, and entered into Vrindavan blind. But he became so absorbed in Krishna Bhakti that it's regularly described that he could see, by spiritual vision, he could see Radha and Krishna and their pastimes by his spiritual attraction within his heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If anyone had any doubt about, is it all right if I become a monkey or a dog? Our experience here in Vrindavan should change all of that. We saw yesterday one monkey was, with his teeth bared, was biting the ear of a dog. His little dog was cowering and scratching him and biting him, and everybody was just standing around looking like Haribol. Very cruel existence. Prabhupada's explanation was that these hogs and dogs and monkeys in Vrindavan are persons who were living in Vrindavan and made offenses in Vrindavan. Living in Vrindavan means that they were some attraction for Krishna, like we have some attraction for Krishna, and they made some serious offenses, and those serious offenses resulted in their becoming dogs and hogs and monkeys. His point was, from that life of the dog and hog and monkey, they'll go back to Godhead after this life because their residence is Vrindavan. But we shouldn't make that mistake of making offenses in Vrindavan and then becoming a hog or a dog or a monkey. Not a good program. Just see. Not a good program. You got to keep a stick with you at all times, just like our gentleman up here, he's got his little stick to make sure the monkeys don't do anything. So he wrote Krishna Karnamrita according to his transcendental realization of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Very much like how the Goswamis later did. They experienced and they wrote what they experienced. So, very, very advanced devotee. Very advanced devotee. And this place, Brahmakund, is primarily the place where he stayed and did his bhajan and did his writing. And like Mahaprabhu, he would recite again and again for increasing or releasing the taste, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. There's no question of things of the spiritual realm becoming stale. Oh, I've heard that before. What else? I've heard that before. What else? But to repeat again and again and again. It's not like an example that Prabhupada gave was chewing gum. You can chew on chewing gum and after some time it's stale. You throw it out and you need some other. But this is different. The more you chew the topics of Krishna or churn the topics of Krishna, the more the nectar comes, and the more the nectar comes, and the more the nectar comes. So he would, Jayadeva Goswami would do the same. He would recite Gita Govinda again and again and again. Ishwara Puri, when he was traveling and passing through Navadvip, he had written one book about the pastimes of Krishna, and he was reciting it again and again and again. That's our way of transcendental appreciation of transcendental teachings. So we'll go back to that place where there were many samadhis. We didn't announce that we were going there, but it's a place that's called 64 samadhis. Looks to me like there's more than 64 in there. And many of the samadhis have little inscriptions in Bengali. So I'm going to ask our Bengali translator to name some of the names of the samadhis that we passed when we were there.
We have seen some of the Goswamis, like Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Loknath Goswami, and where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu, Ashans was there. Aviram Thakur, Pusha Samadhi was there. Udharan Dattva.
There's many more. As we were, he was translating. We're going through that middle back towards eight. And the six Goswamis were all there. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. These are Pushpa Samadhis. And, you know, like a cast of Chaitanya Bhagavat written on little inscriptions, they're Pushpa Samadhis. The sitting place of Lord Nityananda and Abhiram Thakur and Bhugarbha Goswami and so on. We're in good company in that place. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya. I just received a note, the special significance of this place, why Milva Mangala Thakur came here is, it is said that this is the place where Brahma came after the stealing of the calves and cowherd boys and offered his prayers to Krishna. So, Brahmakund. Mahanidhi Swami wrote a book, a whole book, just about the place where we were just before here, the 64 samadhis, and a little description of a picture of the samadhis and a description of the lives of the persons who were present there. It's an important place in Braj. Now we'll go back to Radha Govinda Mandir and describe a little bit about that place. I mentioned when we were there the amazing architecture, but there's a whole history of how that temple was built. When Vajranab, the great-grandson of Krishna, who was made the king of Mathura, he established a number of deities. And there were four deities that were in protectors of the Dham. We visited one of them already, Dauji. We saw that deity of Dauji, very large deity. After the Dauji deity was worshipped for some time, and at the risk of protection of the Dauji deity, the deity was put in a kund, place some distance behind the temple called Sankarshan Kund, and the deity stayed there for a few thousand years, and then the deity was found, and then the worship of the deity was resumed. So the Dauji deity, there's another deity, Adi Keshava. When we do Govardhan Parikrama, we'll also see Haridev right by the side of Manasi Ganga, right in the middle of Govardhan Parikrama, and the deity of Radha Govinda. So when Rupa Goswami, there's his murti or figure on the back here, Rupa Goswami was sent to Vrindavan, as was Sanatan Goswami, specifically sent to Vrindavan for the two main missions, writing the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave them and discovering the places of Krishna's pastimes or reestablishing them for the world to appreciate, as Lord Chaitanya had established Radhakund in a similar manner. He was empowered to do those things, and because he was empowered to do those things and a perfect recipient of empowerment, he manifested so many of the places of Krishna's pastimes and wrote so many books and in fact discovered many deities. But the deity of Govinda, one of the four principal deities that Vajranab had established, he couldn't find anywhere. He couldn't find anywhere. And he was searching and searching, and his mood is what's important. It wasn't just like disappointment, oh, I couldn't find the deity. But it was, he had been given a mission. He had been given some service. And carrying out that service was his life and his soul. And he was unable to fulfill that purpose, at least finding the Govinda deity. So he went door to door and ask all the people, do you know where is Govinda deity? He asked the learned brahmanas, do you have any idea where is the Govinda deity? and asking and searching the scriptures and maybe some histories, and he tried every which way, and he was unable to find the Govinda deity. So one day, he was seated, just sitting, by the side of the river Jamuna, in a very unhappy state. And as he was sitting there, very unhappy, a little village boy came and asked him, "Rupa Goswami, you look so melancholy, so disturbed, so unhappy. What's wrong?" And without even thinking, Rupa Goswami just poured out his heart and said everything that was on his mind. And the little boy said, "Oh, I know where's the Govinda deity. I can take you there right now if you want." Rupa Goswami was very happy. So the little boy took him by his hand and described the situation. Up on a hill, we saw the Govinda temple is up on this hill. Up on a hill, every evening at milking time, one cow comes. And the cow stands in the same place, and she pours down her milk into the ground. That's because Govindaji is in the ground, right there. She's giving Abhishek to Govindaji. "I'll take you and I'll show you." So the place where Rupa Goswami found Govindaji is on the back side of the temple, or immediately behind the altar. Little flat stone where the deity can be found. A deity was found. So in the next morning, because he's Rupa Goswami, he just asked some of the local people, "Please help me." So they got their digging instruments and were digging and digging very carefully, and sure enough, there was Govindaji. And when we go to Jaipur, you'll see how big. Govindaji isn't small. Govindaji's big. And so a grand celebration was held in Vrindavan to honor the discovery of Govindaji, and a temporary temple was built for Govindaji. And news was then sent to Lord Chaitanya. A messenger went from Vrindavan to Puri, because Lord Chaitanya was still present at that time. And the messenger informed Lord Chaitanya of the news. Govindaji has been found. And he was immediately happy and called Govinda and Kashishwara, the two servants that were serving him, and read the news, read the message out again, and said, "Rupa Goswami is so wonderful that just by being given this service, he's completed everything that I've asked him to do." And he turned to Kashishwara, one of the samadhis at the 64 samadhi areas, Kashishwara Pandit Samadhi. And he asked Kashishwara Pandit, "You're very expert in deity worship. Why don't you go to Vrindavan and help Rupa Goswami establish nice standard of worship of the deity?" And Kashishwara Pandit, it was one of those things that he didn't want to say yes and didn't want to say no. Because his life and soul was Lord Chaitanya. So he didn't want to say yes. It meant separation from Lord Chaitanya. But he didn't want to say no. How could he say no to Lord Chaitanya? He was in this dilemma. No, Lord Chaitanya could understand his heart and said, "Kashishwara, as I am life and soul for you, you are life and soul for me. Let us stay together eternally. I will make the following arrangement." Personally, he arranged for a deity of a brass deity about this tall of Govinda. And the deity was made, and he gave the name Gaur Govinda and said, "Here, take the deity with you, and when you worship this deity, you will see me. So I will be with you. Go to Vrindavan and help Rupa Goswami maintain the worship and establish and maintain the worship of Govindaji very nicely." Kashishwara Pandit, like Govinda, his two personal servants, were God brothers. This is another important and very interesting teaching in Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Vaishnav etiquette. Ishwara Puri had these two personal servants, Govinda and Kashishwara. And before his departing from this world, he told them, after I depart from this world, you should go and both serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they would have some service that he had personally given them after his departure, because they had become very attached to Ishwara Puri. So he gave them some service. And after Ishwara Puri's departure, they came to Puri and presented themselves before Lord Chaitanya and said, we've come here to become your servant. And Lord Chaitanya said, how is this possible? You're the servant of Ishwara Puri. You're my God brothers. Not only that, you're serving him as I'm serving him, and how can I accept service from you? That would be wrong. So he turned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is very learned, also his devotee, but asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what should I do? You're very expert in matters of scripture. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, what you said is correct. In a manner that they become your personal servant, to accept personal service like that from your God brother, that would be wrong. But there's a higher principle, and the higher principle is the order of the spiritual master. And the order of the spiritual master is most strong. It supersedes any other consideration. Therefore, you should accept their service. That's my conclusion. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking to his Mahaprabhu, his spiritual master. So Mahaprabhu said, this is very good. I accept. What you say is true. So Kashishwara and Govinda were both personal servants. The main service that Govinda did was all of the personal matters directly dealing with Lord Chaitanya's physical requirements, or his eating and his clothing and all practical matters. And Kashishwara, one thing is he was very expert in deity worship, but another thing, he was very strong, powerful person. And so when Mahaprabhu would go into the public and move on the public road, he would, with his strong arms, keep people away. And when Mahaprabhu was dancing, he would keep people from crowding in so Mahaprabhu could freely dance in ecstasy. That was his principal services. So the deity worship of Govindaji was assisted by Kashishwara Pandit, and he remained here in Vrindavan for the duration of his life, and his samadhi is where we just were, one of the samadhis in that 64 samadhi area. So after Govinda and Gaur Govinda were by the side or together being worshipped, very interesting that thing next happened. There was a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, whose name was Raj Man Singh. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami instructed his disciple to build a temple for Radha Govinda. Little background. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapan Mishra. Those of you that have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, or at least you're familiar with Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was from Benares, and when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a young man, his father sent him to go seek Lord Chaitanya's association, visit him in Puri, So he spent 8 months with Mahaprabhu, and then he came back home to Benares. And then after his mother and father left this world, they sent him again, or they sent him upon her departure, go and stay with Mahaprabhu. So for a second time, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami stayed in Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu instructed him, you learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit while you're here, and then you go to Vrindavan and you recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and study more under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatta liked all those instructions very much. So he came here to Vrindavan and situated himself under the care of Rupa Goswami. He was counted as one of the six Goswamis, but his affection, his spiritual mood, was taking instruction from Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami gave him some service. You recite Srimad Bhagavatam for hours every day. So he was very expert in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He would sing each shloka in three different melodies. It's described that as he would sing, the cuckoos would sit on the branch of the tree and listen to his singing Srimad Bhagavatam. Meaning, it's the other way around. Normally people listen to the sweet sound of the cuckoos, but the cuckoos were listening to the sweet sound of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. But sometimes you see a picture, birds sitting in a tree, listening, and his hand is up in the air, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam that's on his lap. That's Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. That was his expertise. And he had this disciple, Raj Mohan Singh, very wealthy person. So he told Raj Mohan Singh, here's some service, build a temple for Govindaji. So Rupa Goswami designed the building that we saw. Rupa Goswami made, with his own hand, made a deity. He wrote many books. He found places of pilgrimage. He designed temples. Rupa Goswami was like out of sight. And Rupa Goswami, something that Prabhupada said about Rupa Goswami, he couldn't think small. He could only think big. And so the temple that he built, we see how massive that temple is, but it was 7 stories tall. It's like, you know, comparable to a skyscraper in those times. All sandstone. And sandstone isn't light, by the way. It's heavy. And, you know, just an architectural wonder how to build a building 7 stories tall. How do you even get the stone up there that high? But to speak of all the carvings and everything, massive as a monument to Govindaji. Later, the top 4 stories were knocked down by the soldiers of King Aurangzeb just because he couldn't stand from his window to see, from his balcony of his palace, to see off in the distance the tall ghee lamp of the temple of Govinda. So he knocked it down. Not a nice man. Who knows where that person is presently. So some time passed and Govinda and Gaur Govinda were being worshipped. But in Puri, the sun of King Prataparudra, his name was Purushottam Jana. We know of Purushottam Jana from Chaitanya Charitamrita because he's the one who made this motion with his neck and forgetting his name. Gopinath? No. Anyway, there's a whole episode described in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Purushottam Jana's name is mentioned. So he became the next king, following King Prataparudra. And he desired very much that the people that come to Vrindavan and see Govindaji, they should see Radha by his side. Because the understanding at the time was within Govinda's heart or within Krishna's heart is Radha. It's not Krishna alone, it's worshipping Radha Krishna. But ordinary people that go to see the deity, they won't understand that. They need Radha by his side. So he got this devotional inspiration that he would create Radha for both Madan Mohan and Govindaji. Because Madan Mohan also, the deity of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa and Sanatan, just like right over here, Rupa and Sanatan. He wanted to have Radha by their side. So he arranged Radharani deities to be made and sent to Vrindavan. And on the evening before the installation of the deities of Radharani, for those, imagine how huge an event this was in Vrindavan. The pujari of Madan Mohan had a dream. And in the dream, Radha, who was by the side of, to be, become by the side of Govinda, spoke to him and said, I'm not Radha, I'm Lalita. And I should be by the side of Radha and Madan Mohan. Please make that arrangement. On the evening before the installation. So, in the morning, the Brahmin, the priest, who everyone respected as a pure and saintly person, they took him at his word. And so, the installation was for Madan Mohan, now Radha and Lalita. So when we go to Karoli, we'll see Radha, Madan Mohan and Lalita, the original Lalita that Purushottam Jana made. So that was very nice, transcendentally very nice, except Govindaji didn't have Radha by his side. And Purushottam Jana was thinking, I want to do this service too, but what is Krishna's plan? The other plan didn't work out. What is Krishna's plan? So, he had then a dream, and in his dream, the deity in the Jagannath temple, there was a deity of Lakshmi. The deity of Lakshmi appeared in his dream and said, I'm not Lakshmi, I'm Radha. And I want to be by the side of Govindaji. Can you make that arrangement? So he did some research, and it turns out that that deity of Lakshmi, who was actually Radha, was actually Radha. And there's a little history involved. Further, within his kingdom, one of the previous ancestors of Purushottam Jana and Maharaj Prataparudra, there was one of the kings of Orissa had in his kingdom one Brahmin who was worshipping Radha. That was his puja, and he was appreciated by everyone as being a pure and saintly personality on the platform of spontaneous love. And so when that, and the place where he lived was even named Radha Poor or something like that. So, when the Brahmin passed away, the king went to pay his respects to the Brahmin, and he found out that there was no plan for continuing the care for the deity because the Brahmin had no son, and that was just the system at the time. There was no one to continue the worship. So he didn't know what to do. Finally he decided that he would bring the deity back to Puri. So he brought the deity back to Puri and put the deity inside the temple on the side where the other deities are. And it was Radha being worshipped. But over the generations, Radha worship became Lakshmi worship because they're much more familiar with Lakshmi worship than Radha worship. So it became Radha, Lakshmi worship. But it was actually Radharani. So Purushottam Jana announced, Radha has told me she wants to be by the side of Govinda. So they arranged a regal procession, elephants, you know, the whole program, going all the way, taking Radha from Puri all the way to Vrindavan. And Radharani was installed by the side of Govindaji. So there's the altar, Radha, Govindaji, and Gaur Gopal. Oh, Gaur Govinda, excuse me, Gaur Govinda. So we'll see them. And the temple is much cleaner than where we just were. The current temple has now become in the charge of the government because whatever all the details are, it was not being maintained properly, so the government stepped in and the historical society took charge, and you can see what kind of a job they do. Not much. Very, very unfortunate. So, that's a little of the history behind the Radha Govinda temple and the Radha Govinda deity. Behind the Radha Govinda temple is another temple, and that's the temple of Yogamaya. Because again, in a dream, Rupa Goswami saw Yogamaya, who identified herself and said, not only Govindaji was beneath the ground, but I am also there. So, you know, deep into the earth. And so he dug and dug and dug and dug, and there was Yogamaya. So there's not regular worship, public worship of Yogamaya, but if you circumambulate around, you know, dodge the monkeys and the dogs and the so forth, way in the back, there's another tall mandir, that's the Yogamaya temple. And it's open only like 10 days out of the year, during particular time of the year, and you have to go down underground 2 stories, because that's where the deity is. That's where the deity was found, and that's where they keep the deity. I've not been there, but that's what I've been told. When we go to Jaipur, we'll discuss more about the life of Rupa Goswami. Certainly, how to say this properly? Our indebtedness to Rupa Goswami is millionfold for making Krishna consciousness manifest in this world as he did, giving shelter along with Sanatana Goswami to all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We know what it's been like following the departure of Srila Prabhupada to maintain the sanctity and well-being of his organization. So after Mahaprabhu's departure, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were the embodiment of that spiritual well-being. And the other Goswamis who also took shelter, Jiva Goswami took shelter of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta took shelter of Rupa Goswami, Gopal Bhatta took shelter of both Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami followed the order of Rupa Goswami. Such a personality. So important in our spiritual lives. So important that even Prabhupada was so dedicated to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos. He interrupted the translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam 12 cantos, knowing that he might not finish the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that he could translate these two important books of Rupa Goswami, Nectar Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. So important is Rupa Goswami. His one final thing I'll say, this is what was confidentially discussed. Srila Prabhupada at one time, when sitting with some devotees, disclosed that when he was in the Radha Damodar temple, and he was considering how difficult it is to fulfill the order that my spiritual master has given me. He was determined, but he was feeling himself not qualified, and how will it be possible? He disclosed that Rupa Goswami appeared before him personally and gave him courage and strength. You must go forward. Krishna will protect you. Carry out this instruction. Though Prabhupada didn't disclose that in a public way, but obviously he felt great protection and shelter from Rupa Goswami. And for us to carry forward strongly and nicely in our Krishna consciousness, we need that mercy of Rupa Goswami also. Radha Govinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.